This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
First of all, one of the things that the president always believes is to be truthful to the American people. That is something that he always truly believes. And if you see the end of his, I assume that you've read his statement, and you look at the end of that statement, and he actually says that in the first line in the last paragraph, and respects the thinking and how the American people will actually see this in his decision making. And I would encourage everyone to read in full the president's statement. I think he lays out his thought process. He lays out how he came to this decision. He came to this decision this weekend. So let's be very clear about that. He says it himself. It's in his voice. He said he came to this decision this weekend. And he said he wrestled with this. And because he believes in the justice system, but he also believes that the war politics infected the process and led to a miscarriage of justice.
Well, it took to December of 2024 for Joe Biden to say, you know what, enough of this lawfare. Free my son. Are you stop acting like you're surprised by this. You're not surprised. Nobody is surprised by this. Are you surprised by this? I said this on X, if you can follow me at Annie Fry Show, that I am surprised by neither the lying nor the pardon. He said he wasn't going to pardon his son. Brad, when he said originally that he wasn't going to pardon his son, he was still running for president, correct? I'm pretty sure he was.
Yes, yeah, he was. He definitely was.
So there's a political reason why he said what he said and did what he did. And boy, has the status quo changed quite a bit from the time that he made that initial statement. Here's what I get annoyed with. And this is, I've been off for a week, and I have lived a lot of life in the last week. I'll tell you that. I look at what the general reaction is when there's a news story like this, and there's a lot of things that I think, gosh, guys, we don't need to go, like, we can skip the step where we're surprised that Joe Biden lied about something. this is what he does. Joe Biden, before he became, good grief, almost lovable in his senility, he was not an honest person. Do you remember when he ran for president, the first or second or fifth? I don't remember which time it was, but he had to drop out because he plagiarized a whole bunch of stuff. He had a dream or something. I don't know if that was what. when you look at the history of Joe Biden, he does exactly what he needs to do for his own political benefit. So this is not surprising. And you know that. And there's a difference between being surprised and being rightfully annoyed, mad, frustrated, that yet here we are again. When the charges came down for Joe Biden, or excuse me, for Hunter Biden, the gun charges in Maryland, Delaware, somewhere
yeah,
up there.
Delaware,
of all places. when he was found guilty there, we asked the question, will Joe Biden pardon his son? Because obviously any parent in the position to wipe the slate clean for their child, you're going to think that the likelihood of that happening, it's better than 50-50. A lot of what I've seen on social media in the wake of it, a lot of people are saying it really depends on what the crime was. It really depends on what they did. If you're looking at the tax evasion charges, which Hunter Biden pled guilty to, it's not like he went in front of a jury and was found guilty because he said, no, I'm an innocent man. And then he was in a whole lawfare process found guilty of charges that Hunter Biden was obviously innocent of. If that were the case and a pardon came down from your parent, from dad, Merry Christmas, kiddo, unwrap that pardon. If I were going to wrap a pardon up, I would definitely do it in one of those nesting packages. It's a big, yeah. It's a big gift, but it's probably like a slip of paper.
All the way down.
Yes.
All the way down, then you get an envelope in the end.
10 boxes. And like you're thinking, oh, yes, it's the huge gifts. And huge gifts are so fun to unwrap, aren't they? But really, you just keep going smaller and smaller and smaller. But inside the smallest box is a pardon. That's still super exciting. That's a nesting box gift for Christmas for sure. If your son murders people, if your son is the illegal immigrant who killed Lake and Riley, who was staying at the luxury Roosevelt Hotel on your tax dollars, and your son is that deplorable waste of oxygen human space who came here, is a member of Tren de Aragua or associated, affiliated with them, and goes and murders a young girl who's out on a jog on her campus in Georgia, do you pardon them? No, I don't think you do. I think if I'm the parent, I'm repulsed to be associated with that person. These charges, good grief. I think the Second Amendment lobby would potentially argue on the side of Hunter Biden in the first case that he was found guilty. You're probably going to pardon this guy. But then the question comes in, why does the pardon look like the one that Nixon got from Gerald Ford? Why is it double the time of the Watergate pardon? And why does it start in 2014? And why is it for any crimes that Hunter Biden committed between 2014? What happened then? Google Burisma and Ukraine. We're going to speak with Hans von Spakovsky, traditionally a Thursday guest on the Annie Fry Show, but well, desperate times call for desperate measures, and we want the guy who's going to be able to give us the lowdown on what the extent of this pardon means. I mean, is it a blessing of these two particular cases, the one in Delaware, the one that was in California? Southern California was the other jurisdiction.
Yeah.
How do they roll the dice on these jurisdictions from the left? One of the funniest things, total like nerd bomber sidebar of election night, was watching the Washington, D.C., vote totals come in, and it was like 96% of the people in Washington, D.C. voted for Kamala Harris. And you're like, oh, that's why they chose that jurisdiction for the crimes that they wanted to lawfare against Donald Trump. What is the breadth of this pardon? Is there any possible tentacles that come out of this pardon that could protect the pardoner himself, Joe Biden? I don't know, because I'm not a legal expert, but I have so many questions, and we wanted to get Hans on here to give us the answers to your questions as well. So if you join us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, come say hi over there. Vote in today's poll, which I'm going to get to here in a second at the top. It's in the live chat portion. We'll ask Hans von Spakovsky legally what kind of benefits come along with this pardon. Here is what Corinne Jean-Pierre said. This was just in August.
Okay. Okay. Let me go back to the first question of the briefing. I know you said not a lot's changed since yesterday and that it's a personal matter, but from a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No.
No. She says, no, there's no possibility. The limit does not exist. There's no possibility here where Joe Biden would come in and pardon his son. I think the interesting thing was, I have always said, yes, obviously he will pardon his son. I think that these crimes are pardonable, especially if Joe Biden doesn't win the election. I thought Joe Biden would lose the election. I also said for many, many months, if not years, that Joe Biden would not be the candidate. I thought they waited till the bottom of the ninth in order to make that swap. Thank God they did. And that there would obviously be a pardon for Hunter because he'd be a lame duck. That's what I thought would happen. That's exactly what did happen. The question remains, though, is Joe Biden going to finish this term? 49 days until Donald Trump is inaugurated. We're 49 days left of Joe Biden's term. That's not a lot of time. I've been saying that I don't think Joe Biden is going to finish his term. I've been saying that I think Kamala Harris is going to be the president, and I didn't think it was going to be because she won an election. There's still time here. If Joe Biden's pardon of his son, Hunter Biden, that goes and starts in January of 2014, and it moves all the way through December 1st of 2024, 10 years, a little bit over 10 years. If that pardon covers everything that he might have done that had any sort of criminality towards it, and it includes anything that he was doing with his business dealings in Ukraine, maybe China included, all of these things were supposed to come back and benefit the big guy, which we know to be Joe Biden. Does that make Joe Biden safer? Or a lot of other legal scholars are out there saying right now that in lieu of this pardon, that somehow or another Hunter Biden can still be compelled to testify. And because of his pardon, he cannot invoke a Fifth Amendment right to not speak because he's already been pardoned for these crimes. So he couldn't be convicted of or charged and convicted of anything because he's already been given the get out of jail free, literally, card from his dad. So now maybe he can testify. But then other people are saying, what about state courts? It's a federal pardon. He could still be on the hook for state charges that could be levied against him. It's confusing. These are all very deep conversations that I think are very important to have here. And we can't just be like, Joe Biden lied aghast. I can't believe. Of course you can believe it. It's the most predictable outcome here. The most sensible, predictable outcome is that a father pardons his son. Is that B, a known liar lied about not pardoning his son and then pardoned his son. And then he began to reaffirm himself as a serial liar. Joe Biden is the finger guns guy. You don't ever look at a finger guns guy and like really hold him at his word. That's how he got to where he is today. Yes, he's old. Yes, he's in Africa, Angola today. I don't know what did he have to squeeze in these 49 days in Angola? He doesn't have time for the American people. This is the most offensive part of this to me. Again, not surprising, not shocking, but yes, offensive. Another middle finger to the American people. If he wanted to do what he did yesterday and pardon his son, he should have done it to the American people's face. He should have called a press conference. He should have walked up to a podium. He should have done it. He's using the powers of the presidency, the executive office powers that were bestowed upon him by the American people in 2020 to pardon his son. There's no explaining that away without talking about the familial relationship between a father and a son. He does still answer to the American people. He is still elected by the American people. And he still needs to speak to the American people. He pardons his son and then he goes to Africa. There is nothing about this that is about the American people. We decided last night, so we've been putting up Christmas decorations. Boy, like I said, I've lived a lot of life in the last week. I'll talk about some of that later on in the show. But one of the things we needed to do is get as much Christmas preparation done over this past week so that when we get back into the swing of things for another, I think, like 18 or 19 days before everybody's off for Christmas, that the more we get done in this past week, the more that I will actually, along with my husband, be able to enjoy the Christmas season because it's not all a big to-do list. And we got a lot done. And last night, we went to see Moana, had to check that box, 6 o'clock show of Moana, got home at about 8, house is decorated for Christmas, still tons of boxes and totes sitting everywhere, so that is still a work in progress. But I was like, you know what I want to do? I want to restart the holiday season, I want to restart the Harry Potter series, because we watched it for the first time in the last year. Totally missed the Harry Potter, the big phase that everybody went through, and have been just culturally a pariah when anytime anybody references anything Harry Potter. But at the end of the first Harry Potter, I'm not spoiling it for you. I was the last person to see these movies. Everybody just calm down. At the end of the first Harry Potter, when the bad guy, he's got this weird two faces and everything, and he turns around, Voldemort is talking. He said, "There is no good and evil. There is only power." That's what godless people think. This is my problem. I can't watch a Disney movie without either making some sort of Christian analogy or political analogy. I think that Ursula is Nancy Pelosi. I really do. That's absolutely the thought process when watching The Little Mermaid. I'm like, poor unfortunate souls, here, give me your voice and I will give you whatever you want. Or make you into a little squishy little ocean captive in her little cave basement. Well, you know, Scar, Democrat Party, 100%. He wants to take over the Pride Lands and make it for, he says, he's got the whole be prepared. He's telling them everything they need to do. The only way you're going to make it through is if you follow me and then I'll give you what you need. But you got to know I got to be your king. And they're like, okay. And then they make, and then everything goes bad. But that movie ends well too, if you remember. I guess that makes Donald Trump Simba. I hadn't really thought it through. I'll have to think about that one a little bit more. So I'm watching Harry Potter and listening to Voldemort say there is no good and evil, there is only power. If you're somebody who believes in good and evil, then you understand that statement even more, because it's a hypocritical statement, because this statement in and of itself, there is no good and evil, there is only power, is evil. And that's what we're watching. What do I need to do for power? How do I need to maintain power? That's what we're seeing right now. From Voldemort, obviously. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Hans von Spakovsky is going to talk to us about what does the pardon mean? Let's get the legal expert opinion on what we are seeing here. How big and broad is this pardon for Hunter Biden? Is it just for Hunter? Maybe more? Hans von Spakovsky, the Heritage Foundation. Lay it out for us next. Don't go away.
On trial, and I know that you cannot speak about an ongoing federal prosecution, but let me ask you, will you accept the jury's outcome, their verdict, no matter what it is?
Yes.
And have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
We the people of the United States.
More perfect.
In order form of our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Well, you know, the renowned journalist David Muir at ABC asking Joe Biden, will you rule out a pardon? And he says yes. The first thing he said is that he would honor the jury's and respect the jury's decision. This was in that gun charge. But he said that he would rule out a pardon. And now we know, not exactly true. I'm not surprised. I don't know if you're surprised, but what does this pardon mean? Let's talk to Hans about it. Hans, welcome back to the show on a Monday. It's going to throw my whole week off talking to you on Monday, but we're glad you were able to come talk to us today.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me today. This shouldn't have been a surprise to anybody. You know, there was no way. Joe Biden is so protective of his family that there was no way he was not going to give a pardon to his son. I was 100% sure of it. It was just a question of when it would happen. And in this case, he did it before the sentencing in either the gun case or the tax case in California, so that he can claim that he was never actually a convicted felon because he got a pardon before he was actually sentenced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was fighting people on Twitter this weekend about whether or not Donald Trump was technically convicted or not, because that sentencing is still looming out there. Hans, the other question, you know, like you said, to me, never was a question as to whether or not it was going to happen. But I guess there's a lot of different details that can be included or excluded from any given pardon. What do you think about the broad nature with which Joe Biden penned this pardon for his son, Hunter Biden?
There was nothing excluded. You know, I've heard people saying, well, this was to get him out of the tax case and the gun case. But no, this was for absolutely anything that he could be charged with starting in January of 2014 through the date of the pardon. So any other charges that could be brought against him, maybe lying to Congress, lying to investigators, violating the federal law, the Foreign Agent Registration Act, that require you to register if you're going to be representing a foreign government, a foreign entity, which he did, and lobbying members of the government, which he did. You know, those were charges he should have been indicted for, but weren't. And now that's never going to happen.
Yeah, I was thinking and reading a lot of what different legal minds were saying in the wake of this. Initially, it was, oh, my gosh, there it is, the Joe Biden pardon of Hunter Biden. And then after that, you could tell people started to be able to read through the documents that were released. And they're like, this is a pretty big pardon. Is there precedence for a pardon, you know, maybe from a family member or a 10-year span? Is this how pardons generally go towards the end of a president's term?
Well, usually a pardon is for the specific crime that somebody was convicted for and put in prison. It's unusual to have something that covers absolutely anything that somebody could possibly have done. So, no, this is not the usual pardon language that you see. This is so broad that it not only protects Hunter Biden from anything further, but obviously it protects Joe Biden and his family because, in effect, this short circuits any further real investigations of the financial corruption of the Biden family. And by the way, people should read this statement. This statement released by the president is obnoxious and such a con job. He actually says in there that the charges in this case came about only after several of my political opponents in Congress instigated them to attack me. Members of Congress can't instigate criminal charges. That's the Justice Department. That's Merrick Garland, his own attorney general. That is such a misleading statement, and yet He puts it in his description.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Know what happened.
Yeah, it really kind of, to me, it's just another page in the same chapter of Joe Biden's doing what he wants to do to consolidate power, to protect power, certainly to protect his family. But I felt like something of this nature probably deserved, the American people deserve to hear it from him. I felt like if Joe Biden was really confident in his decision and he felt like the American people, As somebody who is serving on behalf of the American people, the president still is elected by those American people, that he should have said something. He should have like went to a podium or recorded something. To think that we haven't heard from him, I don't even know how long it's been since we've really heard from President Joe Biden. He pardons his son and then he hops off to Africa. It just seems like an affront to the American people who he is supposed to serve?
Well, it is an affront. Remember, not too long ago, he very publicly announced no one is above the law.
Yeah.
Well, he's now saying that he his son is certainly above the law. Or, again, if you go back to the statement, he tries to minimize the tax charges against his son, which his son pleaded guilty to, by saying, well, he was late in paying his taxes. You know, lots of people do that. He wasn't late, just late in paying his taxes. He filed false tax returns. False tax returns. He lied under oath in his tax returns and didn't pay $1.4 million in taxes. By the way, you know, Biden says in his statement, well, this was all paid back with interest. Oh, yeah, it was all paid back in interest, but not by Joe Biden.
Right.
And not by Hunter Biden. It was paid by a Hollywood lawyer friend of Hunter Biden. So Hunter Biden never paid any of these taxes. His friends did it for him.
Yeah, the same guy who says no one is above the law says that everybody should pay their fair share in taxes. This whole tax policy is about taxing the rich people of this country so that they do pay their fair share. And gee, Hunter Biden and then his pardon of it is the middle finger to both of those statements that he has used his power as a president against the American people. I'm wondering what you think about the timing of the pardon of Hunter, because we've heard him say many, many, many times, and Corinne Jean-Pierre on his behalf has said many, many times that there's no pardon on the table for Hunter Biden. Yet yesterday, Sunday, December 1st, the pardon does come through. Cash Patel just appointed to the position to be confirmed as the FBI director. Do you think there's any connection there about the signals that Donald Trump has been sending with his cabinet about where he might be taking the Justice Department, the justice system in our country, and such a broad, open pardon for a 10-year span for Hunter Biden? Any possibility those things are related?
Oh, I think Joe Biden, his cronies, all the people inside the FBI and the DOJ who did everything they could to hinder, prevent, sidetrack these investigations must be quivering. They're afraid. Cash Patel has made it very clear he intends to clean up and reform the FBI. And that includes, you know, the left keeps calling it revenge. No, you should not have the kind of people that exist in the FBI and the DOJ that the IRS whistleblowers described, who did everything they could to try to prevent the Hunter Biden investigation from going forward and succeeding. Those people should not have responsible positions inside law enforcement. And I think Joe Biden and others are afraid that their friends and cronies inside those agencies will no longer be there to protect them if Cash Patel gets confirmed as the head of the FBI.
Hans von Spakovsky, you've served as a DOJ lawyer. What do you think about that appointment and, you know, the corruption that does seem to have existed for so much time, this bureaucracy that has been running the show behind the scenes, regardless of, you know, when Donald Trump was the president, they were actively working against him. And then Joe Biden becomes the president and they're actively working aggressively, bureaucratically on behalf of the Democrat Party that was in power. What do you think of Cash Patel? A lot of people say he's never been an FBI agent. He's not qualified. What do you need to be the FBI director?
He worked inside the Justice Department. The FBI is a subsidiary, a division of the Justice Department. And frankly, the fact that he's never been an agent, I think, is actually good. You know what that means? That means he's not an institutionalist. In other words, he's not somebody coming in saying, oh, I've got to protect the institution at all costs. Therefore, I can't make major changes. I can't fire the worst people because it'll look bad for the institution. That has been the problem with the current head of the FBI. They need somebody who is willing to go in and shake things up. And believe me, his experience both working for the Justice Department and frankly working on Capitol Hill is exactly the kind of experience that's needed for this.
Regarding the Hunter pardon, I've seen some legal minds talking about being compelled to testify that if Hunter Biden were compelled to testify in hearings in the future, that there's still he'd still be compelled to actually speak because he's been pardoned, that he can't waive his Fifth Amendment rights or whatever, or he couldn't invoke them. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Can you explain like what is actually at the heart of the matter now that he has received this pardon, how he could be an asset or inaccessible, one or the other, to future investigations?
Yeah, if House committees continue to investigate the corruption of the Biden family, and he's called in for questioning under oath in front of a committee, he can't assert his Fifth Amendment right against speaking to prevent his criminal indictment for any matters that occur during that time period. He has to answer. And if he doesn't answer, he can be held in contempt by Congress. And while the Garland Justice Department has refused to enforce contempt citations against liberals and others, I don't think that this Trump Justice Department will have any fear of enforcing a contempt citation against someone like Hunter Biden if he refuses to answer questions from Congress. Mm,
that's very interesting. Other people have suggested that he could potentially, it's a federal pardon, so it doesn't affect state charges. Do any of the things that he's been accused of so far up until this point really fall in your legal mind under potential problems for him regarding state charges that could be levied?
Not that I'm aware of. The only possibility of that is if, and I haven't heard of that had happened. Remember, he failed to file proper tax returns and pay federal taxes. I don't know if he had that same problem with any state taxes, but so far there's been no evidence of that. So that's the only state charges I could think of.
And then last question before we let you go. We're speaking with the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, Hans von Spakovsky. I've had this question myself, and I've seen it been discussed quite a bit. Is the future pardons that might exist with such a blanket covering of Hunter Biden's crimes, little literal crimes, for a 10-year process. A lot of people are pivoting their eyes towards Donald Trump and what he might do for what we refer to as the J6ers, those people who have been imprisoned or had lawfare levied against them since that time. Do you think that Joe Biden's move here and the way that he went about this and the broad nature of this pardon, do you think it affects anything that might happen in the future with Donald Trump?
It should. Look, the reaction of the Justice Department was such an overreaction. They went after the protesters on January 6th as if they were terrorists. They weren't. Yeah, some of them, a very small number, engaged in what could be considered criminal trespassing in Congress. Criminal trespassing is a misdemeanor in most states. You know, it's punished by 6 months, maybe up to a year in jail at the most. And yet these people were treated like terrorists. Many of them were put in jail for years, and I actually think the president should give serious concern to giving pardons and clemency to people who've been serving in jail, serving time in prison now for years, with sentences that are way more than and do not match the behavior that actually occurred on January 6th.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of people are agreeing with that sentiment today as well. Hans, again, thank you for some time on a Monday. We always love speaking with you. And with this issue, we wanted to get to some of those legal facts that you always provide us. So thank you for your time today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We'll talk to you again soon. The senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, former FEC commissioner, DOJ lawyer, Hans von Spakovsky. A lot that we went through there. Cash Patel, pardons, J6. Good grief. There's a lot to be discussed and will continue to be. We're going to kind of get the flip side of the legalese part of that with Joe Concha up at 125. So stick around less than 40 minutes from now or so. Joe's going to come on the show with us and we're going to get the political fallout opinion from Joe Concha. And, you know, he talks a mile a minute. So it is well worth your investment of your time to hear what he thinks and what he's hearing, you know. I've heard a lot of people also suggest that Joe Biden's actions in pardoning Hunter Biden is once again Joe Biden backstabbing the Democratic Party, want more of him sabotaging what type of credit that the Democrat Party might even have left And let's see what Joe Concha has to say about that. He literally wrote a book on Joe Biden, and he studied him, and he knows exactly the type of person that Joe Biden is, and we'll hear what he has to think about this pardon at 1:25. At 1 o'clock, we're going to speak with Steve Moore, get an update on his thoughts on the cabinet appointments that Donald Trump has made since we last discussed with him, the people who he is putting in the economic position to right this ship once Donald Trump takes over in 49 days from today, January 20th. But when we come back, Ethan in for Wiggins America. It's Wiggins America with style, I think is how Ethan likes to claim that it is, and we'll see about that when we come in. He always brings it, and we will be excited to hear what he has to talk about coming up next. So Ethan in for Ryan Wiggins, who's got the day off. He'll be back tomorrow. Don't go away. Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll, Annie Fry YouTube channel right now. Will Joe Biden finish his term? I've got some thoughts on this. We'll discuss that as well coming up. Don't go away.
Oh, Wiggins.
Well, it's Ethan for Wiggins today. Hi.
Hi.
I haven't seen you in a long time.
I know. It has been a little while. I guess, you know, we had a holiday, and then...
You had a honeymoon.
I had a honeymoon. You brought a dog in. Where's Winnie, by the way? I thought, you know, I thought that was going to become a daily thing now.
I mean, it can be.
The Annie Fry Show mascot.
It can be.
I mean, I have a lot of titles mm-hmm. already, and I would happily
dog?
Become...
Uncle?
Yep, I would happily
you
become...
You want to be the godfather?
Yes, I do want to be the will you, dog father.
Would you?
Godfather.
What
pray,
the heck?
Will you pray for my dog?
Sure.
You're like the heir. The dog's going to you if something happens to me. You can be godfathers.
Okay.
Let's make it a thing.
I'm
Ryan's
so
not here, so I can't ask him.
This is great. I'm so excited.
He can be the godmother.
You know, if you ever want to bring him in, he's welcome to hang out with me out in the producer's
be
area.
Careful what you joke about.
I'm not joking. I'm being dead serious right
she's
now.
She's the easiest to take care of ever.
I bet.
She's a new puppy. If you missed it, King Cavalier... Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, teeny tiny, adorable
little guy, so mm-hmm. cute, so cute. And you brought him in, her in
yep.
on was that Wednesday? God,
yep.
that was a long time ago. Yeah,
yeah.
Wednesday.
It was a lifetime
so cute.
Ago.
And the chat was not kidding; they were accurate when saying that. Watch out, because she might get stolen. So cute. Okay, so today on Wiggins America, little
yeah.
Monday roundup here going on. It was a pretty active weekend. In theaters. I know you mentioned that you went and saw Moana 2.
Yep.
How was it?
If you're a Moana fan, go see it and enjoy seeing Moana again.
Okay. It's actually funny. Like, so you mentioned I was on my honeymoon. We went to Maui and
uh-huh.
there was like this, they talked on a
the
couple of the different.
The place or the demigod?
Well, exactly.
Okay.
They talked about how there actually is some Hawaiian culture that is brought into Moana, so
mm-hmm.
they mentioned that a couple of times, so it's kind of cool. Moana did super well
yeah.
this weekend, if you were wondering.
Got $100 from me.
Highest grossing Thanksgiving weekend ever at the box office, and it was led by Moana 2, which grossed $221 million across North America since its Wednesday release. So Moana 2 did pretty well, and of course a couple of other movies that were out there. Well, the main one, I guess, would be Wicked. Has anyone had a chance to see Wicked yet?
No.
Well, I'm going to let you do your segment here because I was on the spectrum of going to the movies. It's mm-hmm. harder. We're kind of getting into the place now where it's a little easier for us to go because we have our kids are old enough now that they can stay home and watch the kids. We can mm-hmm. go not too far away, a couple hours and be back home. I wanted to see Wicked at first.
So I actually had some intrigue with Wicked because I actually had one of my wife's cousins starred in Wicked on Broadway
oh,
and
wow.
played, what's the main guy lead's name? Figaro, something like that? I'm not familiar.
He's
very
the guy
familiar.
From Independence Day.
Yeah, sure, whatever. But he was
name?
The lead in Wicked on Broadway for a little while before COVID. So, you know, I kind of had some interest. Oh, you know, the music sounds great. And then I started seeing some stuff pop up on Twitter about this media tour. And, like, it's a lot of, like, negative captions. This media tour is insufferable. It just shows how separated Hollywood is from just everyday Americans. And then I see this video.
This week, people are taking the lyrics of Defying Gravity and really holding space with that and feeling power in that.
I didn't know that that was happening.
Mm. I've seen it, yeah.
That's
yeah.
really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so special.
Ariana Grande, like, awkwardly holds her finger.
I didn't know that was happening.
I've seen it on a couple posts. I don't know how widespread, but, you know, I am in queer media, so that's my,
I'm in queer media, so, you know, I'm aware that people are feeling very moved by this song from this movie.
I'm sick of phrases like, they're finding their power in their space. Shut up.
What are we doing?
Just shut up. You like the movie? It made you feel powerful? Okay.
Here's the thing.
You're not any more powerful because of the movie. I'm just here to tell you that. You
know, don't let anybody take your power.
You know, I kind of, almost, it's same kind of thing, though, for real. And I kind of feel bad. Like, this is like kind of like a heyday when it comes to like a Wiggins America segment. This is like exactly what Ryan would have a field day with.
Yeah.
So, but like, I mean, if you look up on Twitter, just Wicked Media Tour, this is just one of a bunch of different videos. So then, I don't know if we talked about it on this segment. There's a girl on Twitter that's really good at mocking Kamala Harris.
Yes.
Like, and doing like the drunk voice Kamala Harris. And I guess she's kind of widening her horizons, because now she's mocking the Wicked Media Tour here.
We chose to do with the role, with the roles, was something not
Ariana Grande
that should be studied.
Yeah. Where are you from?
Dayton,
Ohio.
Oh my god.
Is that Ohio? Did I say something wrong?
It's been an honor to stand by Cynthia.
That's in her nose.
During this hard time.
That's her nose ring.
Her battling cancer. Oh no, I'm just bold. No, I'm sorry, I'm a little hungry. She's hungry. This is okay.
Oh no.
Fake,
no!
She fake breastfeeds her, for those
she
just listening.
She understands the black experience. I don't think you understand. She's a chameleon. She's a shapeshifter. She knows more about being black than I would say even I do.
Okay. We have a party. Okay, love you. I love you.
Nobody in all
ready.
Of
mine.
Girl, you know I hate that.
That is so accurate.
It is way too accurate.
Why is the intersection of the Wicked press tour and the Kamala Harris campaign so broad?
It's way too close. It's way
it's
too close.
It's the same people.
It's so sad. And here's an even sadder part. There are some people out here that are trying to push this agenda, like this media tour has been powerful. You know, I was curious what the media was even saying about this, because it feels like the election did something, right?
Yeah.
It said, okay, we're not about this anymore, but the media is still pushing it. Vogue says, this article title says, the Wicked press tour was .. a lot. wait. I miss it already.
Oh.
I was like, what are we doing? I mean, this article is talking about just the power that these two women showed and being able to show their emotions, about how impactful this movie was and how, you know, kids are being moved by this movie. And it is just so ridiculous. That
we need some emotional stability reinjected into
yes.
this country. Like, I understand the importance of addressing mental health. So I don't want to be so insensitive that I'm, you know, poo-pooing anybody who's having a rough time.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to get over the rough time, or you need to learn how to live with the rough time. If
right.
you can't get over it, you need to learn how to live with that as part of who you are. And this repetitive concept of making the victimizing thing about you, the thing that is the most victimized, your biggest strength, that's not the healthy way to go about it.
Right.
You have strengths. That's not your weakness isn't your greatest strength. It's your weakness.
What I'm curious of if these two actresses are actually like this in real life, or if this is just for
like,
show. Because, you know, we've seen Ariana Grande in a lot of stuff, and I think she's pretty funny, and she's obviously very talented.
Yeah.
But I've never seen her like this, where she's really building into this just powerful movement.
Is she still acting?
Yeah. Yeah, she's still doing stuff. Now, this is it had been a little while, I think, since I'd seen her anything. It had gone much more on the music side. But yeah, I thought we were kind of moving past this, and then we get this. It's like, well, Hollywood hasn't changed much, and I don't know if I see it changing much.
Well, maybe
more
there's a market.
Soon.
I mean, clearly there's a market for what they're throwing out there, and maybe they've just decided to go all in.
Solely in California.
If it's enough, it's enough.
I guess so.
People are seeing the movie like 8 million times. I don't know. I wanted to see it, but I'm honestly watching this press tour going, I don't really want to see any more of that.
Yeah, for real.
So, Steve Moore and Joe Concha next. Don't go away.